Good afternoon, everyone. My fellow presenters and I are enormously grateful that you showed up on this last session, on the last day, as Helen said, of a very intense conference. I'm going to kick this session off with a topic of role of food packaging, advertising, and public health messages in the nutrition knowledge of low-income adults. My panel and I plan to make this a very riveting session for you, so I'm going to make good on that promise with my second slide. I have no disclosures to make. See how we're going to really ramp this up? As Helen mentioned, I have been working with my colleague, Dr. Stephanie Grutzmacher with the University of Maryland, on a Maryland statewide health and nutrition literacy study. My part of it came with my own program, which is the University of Maryland Extension, Maryland Food Supplement Nutrition Education Program. This study was very far-reaching and very extensive, and the pieces I'll be using today are just a small part of this overall health and nutrition literacy study. You might know that the food stamp program at the federal level changed its name recently to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, or SNAP, program. So we use 219 SNAP-eligible adults in various departments of social services offers throughout the state of Maryland. Five different counties were represented. Out of the 219 folks who participated in our survey, 76% were female, 64% have children. The average age was 37. The demographics broke down: 46% black, 41% white, 6% Latino. I put this slide in because when you talk about literacy, it's often easy to assume a lack of formal education. So I tossed this in because our group actually broke down roughly into thirds, with approximately 29% having less than a high school education, 38% holding a high school diploma, and the remaining 33% actually having some college on up through a college degree. Said in another way, over 70% of the people who participated in our study had at least a high school diploma or higher, so formal education shouldn't really have come into play throughout this literacy study. As I mentioned, the folks who participated in this were SNAP-eligible people from Department of Social Services waiting rooms. The volunteers were given nutrition resources and $25 in cash. Guess which one really drew them in? The data were collected in 2 years, 2008 and 2009, using in-depth, semi-structured interviews. And those interviews were used open-ended questions and lasted between 30 and 90 minutes. The quantitative data that came out of this could easily fill any number of talks, and certainly this part of it could easily take my whole time. So I limited myself just to two topics, that of trust the people evaluated and their media exposure. And breaking all good rules of what you should do in a slide, I put way too much information on this one. The participants of the survey were asked, how much do you trust this source of information on nutrition, food, and diet? And the sources were doctors, nurses, nutrition educators, television, magazines, newspapers, family and friends, and the internet. And their levels of trust that they assigned were trust a lot, trust a little, and don't trust. Just about everyone in this room probably is enormously pleased to see doctors, nurses, nutrition educators received the highest levels of trust a lot. Probably less reassuring was that everything from television down through the internet came in at trust a little. I, of course, would have loved to have seen those down there in that don't trust category. The second quantitative slide that I did include in here asked the question of media exposure. How often in the last year have you watched shows on TV, read articles, or used the internet to find information about nutrition, food, or diet? And the frequencies that the participants assigned ranged from less than once a month up through more than once a month. All three, television, articles, and the internet, came in highest, as you can see, at the less than once a month category. And then there was a little bump up again at the more than once a month, with television coming in highest on that one. This really just shows that people were using these sources all throughout the month, and being exposed to all three articles, television and the internet. The bulk of this talk will certainly come from the qualitative data that was gathered during in-depth interviews. Out of the full group, 140 adults were included in this qualitative study. Their answers were recorded digitally, and then those recordings were transcribed verbatim. The transcriptions were open-coded for content and themes using Atlas TI, and emergent themes were axial-coded and peer-reviewed. This is where we'll actually get into the perceptions, the nutrition exposure, the knowledge, the beliefs of the participants. We'll talk about the use of food packaging for health benefit knowledge, name brand products being used to increase or decrease the consumption of certain nutrients, and supplementation to improve nutrient intake, particularly with fiber and calcium. If there's time, we'll touch briefly on some of the quotes about the participants' feelings toward health professionals and the advice and beliefs of family and friends. Before I get into the actual qualitative part, I real quick want to say, I know it's painful to have someone read what you're actually reading on the screen at the same time, but because you remember I said that these were transcribed verbatim, so I really want the words of the participants to speak to you the way they were. So I'll be reading it, you'll be reading it, but I invite you to race to the end of each of the quotes where the demographics are, and you can see the wide range of people who were participating in this study. And then maybe that way it won't be as tedious. And not to insult your intelligence, but the I will always stand for the interviewer who is asking or making a comment, and the R will be the respondent's question. So on the topic of food packaging, how often do you use statements on the label that describe health benefits? Like when it says, this food will help lower your cholesterol, or this food helps you digest? And the respondent said, oh, I follow that a lot, like Cheerios and other things. I try to go by things like that. I'm gullible. So going with the tenet for qualitative statements that if somebody says it, other people are thinking it, there you go. She right up front admits that she's swayed by the packaging, what she's reading on the front of the label. The use of name brands, the red highlighting, the emphasis is mine. It wasn't, of course, emphasized in the question, but I wanted you to kind of pick out the main theme of the question. If a doctor told you to eat more whole grains, what would you do? I'd eat more Cheerios. If a doctor told you to eat more good fats, is there anything you would eat, or how would you change what you eat? I'd eat more cereal, or like Cheerios. Two totally different respondents, by the way, because by now you've raced to the end and you've seen that these are different people. If your doctor said you needed to lower your cholesterol, how would you change what you ate? Lower my cholesterol. Eat less sugars and fats, sodium. Maybe switch to that Cheerios diet thing they always show on the commercials. So with one magical product, we can increase our whole grains, we can add good fats to our diet, and we can lower our cholesterol, according to these three different respondents. If a doctor told you to eat less sugar, what would you do? I'd change my sugar to sweet and low, I guess, or equal, or Splenda. Are there any other foods that have sugar in them that you'd want to eat less of? Oh yeah, probably cake and things like that. But we don't really have a lot of, I don't use sugar because I don't even drink coffee. So even though when pressed, she could name foods that she would change, her initial reaction was to name off every brand name of artificial sweetener she could think of when she was asked the question to eat less sugar. This one's very long, but there really wasn't a good way to whittle anything out of this, so bear with me. Again, if your doctor told you to eat less sugar, different participant, how would you change what you eat? Like, I had Country Time pink lemonade, and it didn't say put sugar in it, but I put a little sugar in it because it brought out the flavor a little bit, no doubt. But see, that's not something I would, I don't buy like the powdery Kool-Aid and stuff, so I don't worry so much if I want to put sugar in a little Country Time lemonade, because most of the time I buy juices. So you can get like unsweetened, like the apple juice I get is unsweetened. And like if I have juicy juice, that's supposed to be better for you. And I get like various cranberry juices and something else quite a bit. And I'm thinking those may be a little healthier. And these were all in response to how she would get less sugar in her diet. If her doctor told you to eat less sodium, what would you do? I like Mrs. Dash. Use the garlic powder instead of the salt. Just make sure that I buy what the make sure that I watch what the sodium levels are in the food that I buy. So this woman knows enough to be watching perhaps the nutrition facts label. She knows to substitute a flavor for the salt, but again, her first instinct was to name a brand name product. If a doctor suggested you cook your food in a healthier way, what might you do? Less margarine. Try like Smart Choice instead of buying the margarine or the I can't believe it's not butter. Just use a different sort of that, or try to just steam it and try to work without the margarine at all. Use like Pam or something like that. So she knew what to do with steaming her vegetables, but she had to list no less than three brand name products that she would also use to cook her food in a healthier way. Totally different topic now. If a doctor said that you need to balance your calories with your exercise, what does that mean to you? Actually, they have it all written out in the PX90. It's actually called the P90X program. So I would just start following that. They have it all worked out. How much you have to eat so that you can work out correctly so that you're not hurting yourself. PX90 is a workout program by some crazy higher energy dude. They have they plan your meals and everything like that. I'd follow it more specifically if I had the money. So remember, this is a food stamp applicant who's saying if she had enough money, she would buy this program because it would tell her what to eat and how much to exercise. That would be how she would balance her calories with exercise. If a doctor told you to eat more fiber, how would you change what you eat? I've changed. The doctor had told me that, and I've changed. I eat a lot of cereal that has fiber in it. I take stuff like Metamucil and Benefiber. I have to. Okay, so you take some supplements, and then you said you eat cereal with fiber in it. So then you just look for cereal that has, I know like brand cereal, like Crispy Wheats, Raisin Bran, Shredded Wheats. So again, she has a doctor's suggestion that she increase her fiber. She knows she can do that through cereal, but she's supplementing it with the Metamucil and the Benefiber. We had quite a few responses with the fiber, so a few more on this one. Again, try to eat more fiber. How would you change what you eat? That fiber one might have to come into play. Do you know of anything else you might try to get? Well, there's Metamucil. That has fiber in it. And I would probably add like a fiber substitute in my diet, like the Benefiber that you can add to your food, that you can add to your juice. And it's odorless and tasteless. And I can do it, and the kids would get a benefit from it. And we would just slowly incorporate that into our diet. I mean, she could be a commercial with the odorless and tasteless. If you've ever heard the Benefiber commercial, those are pretty much the words that come out. And on the topic of supplementation, if you need to eat more calcium, how would you do that? Find calcium supplements. Or another woman's response, well, my mother's on like those calcium chews, so the calcium, yeah, those little chews. But for the children, it's milk. So this woman knows the association between milk and calcium, but her initial reaction was still to go with the calcium supplements. So I'll real quickly run through this. I won't do this whole one in the interest of time. So toward the bottom of the last quote, this is talking about a young woman saying that a lot of her family members are doctors in other countries. And she says, but I do listen to what they say, but I don't always believe what they say because they can tell you things that may be true, but may not also be true. It's what you believe in your heart. All they did, they went to school and they learned. So if you teach yourself and you educate yourself, you can take care of yourself. Her opinion on the health professionals. Another one, have you heard about any health problems caused by eating too much salt? I've heard about eating too much salt, but I don't pay attention to it. Okay, so you're not sure what happens? The doctor says something and I don't pay attention. I'm sure that warmed his heart in just all kinds of ways. And family and friends, fresh tomatoes, cut them into squares. Cook them there with a little cayenne pepper, which is really good for you. I don't know if you know that, but my sister knows. She reads a lot about nutrition and everything. And tomatoes, my sister was reading, they're better, healthier for you to eat cooked. She read it. She's always reading about, oh, she's really good with it. That's where I learn about everything I know about nutrition and everything. And this one, I couldn't take a word out because you've just got to hear this one word for word. My children, I give them a wide range of lunch. I make sure they have something to drink. I give them something healthy to eat, plus a piece of fruit with either a Jell-O or a pudding, which pudding can be high on the fat side, and a snack. That's why when the questions came on how important it is for junk food, well, I think that kids need a junk food, so I give them either a small thing of chips or a couple of cookies. But I do always look on the back at the serving size. The serving size, if it says 2 cookies, I may give them only 3. Okay, so you said kids need some junk food. Why do kids need junk food? Because they're kids. So it's just part of being a kid? Yeah. How do you counter beliefs held like that? So what did we learn from all of this? Well, we can at least take some comfort in knowing that the people in this study at least had high levels of trust in doctors, nurses, and nutrition educators. So those could perhaps be the folks we most work with to help push the nutrition information. Nutrition information certainly is being referenced from packaging, advertising, as well as from family and friends. Name brand products are being touted throughout this whole study as a way to adjust nutrient consumption, either up or down. The nutrient perceptions and knowledges are often based on either simplified or perhaps even misrepresented messages used in advertising. And nutrition actions seem to be related to a medical model rather than a lifestyle change. What may be missing if this is the information source that these folks have and the beliefs that they hold? Whole foods could be completely missing from these folks' diets. A willingness or an ability to change may not be there. Certainly information not being sourced from ads and having health professionals whom they trust and who actually have accurate information and techniques to foster behavior change. The implications for everyone in this room, I hope, would be that we would advocate to improve parameters for food advertising and food packaging, holding the makers to more honest revelations on the outside of their packages. Perhaps if we're lucky, there will be an expansion of public health nutrition messages. If we could get a fraction of that Cheerios budget, think how that fruits and veggies more matters could be rolling off everyone's tongue. And myself, as a nutrition educator, I will certainly be calling explicit attention to the nutrition messages and the sources people have to reduce the influence of those misconceptions. If I know people are exposed to advertising, front of package labeling, all the things that they're seeing on the internet, and I use those in what I'm addressing when I talk to them about other ways they can increase or improve their nutrition, I will at least have maybe diminished some of the importance of what they're getting from these other sources. Many people, you can imagine, participated in this study, and I want to acknowledge them all, and I thank you for your time and attention.
We have a few minutes for questions.
It's an interesting view on it, and that certainly could be part of what's coming into play. I do find it interesting that the folks never even mention fruits and vegetables, though, or any of the other food ways to improve some of this, and that they right away went with a supplement or a, you know, a brand name product. But that could certainly have come into play. Thank you for that comment. All right. Thank you. No, I'm sorry. Certainly, these results are the ones that applied specifically to the mentioning of brand names. My colleague, who actually has seen the whole of all of this, is in the room. And Dr. Grootsmacher, would you like to address that?
And so on the whole, even though it's qualitative, it's not intended to be representative of all the comments or all the people, more generalizable. But on the whole, most of people's responses indicate either confusion about the concept that was addressed in the question, or some uncertainty about what steps they might be able to take practically in order to address the recommendation. So it's true to point out that some people did cite things like that. There's a couple times where people say oatmeal. Some of them might refer to Quaker oats, and some might refer to generically to oatmeal. But by and large, a lot of the responses to these questions were with erroneous information or uncertainty with how to carry out the action portion of that recommendation.
And so, if I can ask a follow-up to that, just to get sort of a better global picture of what's found. So, would you say that 75% of the answers were brands and 25% were generic fruits and vegetables? Have you broken it out like that?
We have not done any sort of quantitative coding of the qualitative data.
It sounds like there's two different things. One is the discussion of the brands and how much brand influence people's thinking. In fact, what you were going to was just general misunderstanding or difficulty processing the public health messaging. Which were you really focused on looking at? Both?
In the broader study, absolutely both. In this specific example, we went through and we tried to code for categories of responses and noted a limited number of public health nutrition messages and a very large number of messages about supplementation and branding. So it's next year.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks again.